Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
And about TPing houses this time of year, is that a lot of fun or no? Hey, John, my husband and I TP'd Randy Hundley's house in Palatine when the Cubs beat the Dodgers in 2016 and clinched the National League pennant. Of course, this was after a few margaritas. 708, in high school, my softball teammates, listen to this, in high school, my softball teammates left two rolls of toilet paper in a lunch-size paper bag, and they wrote, "It's the thought that counts," and left it on our front doorstep. My dad was thrilled. And one more, Coach Q's house was TP'd every year they won the cup. A quick recommendation for John Williams, if he loved Bono's daughter, Eve Hewson, Ian Flora and Son, and I did, I strongly recommend Bad Sisters, a series that came out on Apple earlier this year. Hewson is wonderful in it. It's funny. It's dark. It is brilliant. She's terrific. Thanks for the reminder. Eric Zorn, have you watched any of those shows, by the way?
Yeah, I did. I watched Bad Sisters, and I thought it was a lot of fun. A very interesting show, so I give my thumbs up to that.
I'm trying to remember now if that's been on in my house. What was Bad Sisters about?
Well, it was about an abusive husband who ends up dead, and his wife and her sisters are all in town together. And the mystery of the show is, how did this man die? Who did it? And it's very well done, very well acted. I think Sharon Horgan's in it, as I remember, who is brilliant. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think it's like 6 to 8 episodes, something like that. It's watchable. Yeah. It's one of the things, like, I don't like to get that involved in some of these shows that it's like someone says like Suits. Everyone's telling me to watch Suits, and it's like many seasons of lots of episodes, and I don't think I'm into that kind of commitment right now. I'm much more into the 10 episode season. Right now I'm watching Unforgotten, the British crime drama. Those are like 5 episodes per season. That's about where I am these days.
I'm going to pre-snob Suits for you. You're not going to like it.
Really? Okay. Well, then I'm not going to watch it.
Well,
John,
now,
your recommendation means a lot to me.
Oh, it should not. But I just, here's what happened in my family. Here's what happened to my family around Suits. It came on. Brenda and I looked at each other. We said, all right, this is all the rage. It's back and everybody loves it. And there's no new material coming out from Hollywood and so forth. So we watched the first episode. We got halfway through the first episode and we looked at each other like, we don't want to watch this, right? This is so badly written. It's so preposterous and dumb, and it just doesn't have any ring of truth. But damn, they were good-looking people, and wow, were those some great clothes. And there was just drama at every turn. Every time somebody walks into a room in Suits, it's like, what now? And so that's Suits. But if you just kind of wallpaper your evenings with it, the next thing you know, you're laughing and leaning in. And by season 9, episode 3000, we found ourselves enjoying it.
Really? I had that same sort of reaction to The Good Wife, which several years ago I began watching.
I love that show. Same kind of vibe.
It was like 23 episodes a season for 6 seasons or something like that. It just went on and on, and my wife Johanna just gave up on it, and she let me watch like 3 seasons, and then I called her in for the finale, and that was how we handled it. But it's good when you and your spouse have the same response to a show. Otherwise it can be very alienating around the house.
Well, there's no point in having 2 TVs in a house with 2 people, each of you in different rooms. That's no way to live. But it's what a lot.
It is not.
But it's what a lot of us do. I'll text my wife downstairs, going, "Hey, and she's downstairs and I'm upstairs." But I thought The Good Wife was a lot of fun. Juliana Margulies, right? And then what a great cast!
Yeah.
She's right. Lovely. The show was lovely.
The show was great, and I really enjoyed a lot of it. And I have not watched The Good Fight, which is, I guess, the sequel to that or the spinoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's supposed to be really good, too. I think Christine Baranski, is that her
absolutely
name?
Absolutely.
The star of that.
I loved her, too. So. Well, here's what Suits is dumber than The Good Wife. I'll just give you that. A little more dramatic. It's a soap opera, and just not as smart, but you'll get there. So, you know, look, I know really smart people that watch the Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever those shows are, or The Bachelor, for crying out loud. So allow yourself the opportunity to watch it.
Well, you know, I had this unpopular opinion during the writer's strike, which was that I mean, all respect to people who are writing for a living and weren't making a living then, but it gave me a little bit of a chance to catch up on all these shows that people said to watch because they weren't turning out new shows. So I could say, okay, good, I can go back and catch up on some of these. We caught up on The Wire, for instance, and we caught up on The Sopranos and the other shows. It was like a respite from the onslaught.
Wow, you went way back.
I mean, there's so much great material out there to watch. I just finished watching Physical. Have you watched that?
No, I did Extraordinary Attorney Wu. What was Physical about?
Physical is about, it's set in the early 80s, and it's about a woman who discovers aerobics and then sort of becomes an aerobics star. And it really nails the early 80s very well. I was talking to our friend Mary Schmeek the other day, and she just loved it. I recommended it to her. And actually, I didn't quite recommend it to her because it's kind of dark. It's funny and dark at the same time. And it's three seasons on Apple TV, I think it is, 10 episodes a season, which is about my limit right now of shows. And I had mixed feelings about how it all went, but it's a really interesting study of the 80s. And again, Mary, our friend Mary, who is a yoga instructor in her now more copious free time, really, really liked it. So take that what you will, and maybe watch Physical and see if you like it. Just give it the first episode a chance. So,
Brandon Johnson has not said when, but he's still planning. The mayor of Chicago going to the Mexico border to see firsthand what this migrant crisis looks like. What's your thought about his potential journey there?
I share the same view that Laura Washington offered in the Tribune on Monday and then that the Sun-Times offered in its editorial pages today, which is like, there is so much to do here. And there's absolutely no point in making a little grandstanding trip, you know, 1,400 miles south to the Mexican border to take a look at what you could see on your nightly newscast. What's he going to learn down there? He's going to learn that there are terrible conditions in Venezuela that are prompting these migrants to come here, and that Governor Abbott and other governors down there are sending their migrants up here to Chicago, kind of to prove a point. And we're going to have to deal with that problem. I don't see why he would want to go.
I do.
What he thinks he's going to gain from that. You do? Well, you think it shows that he cares?
No.
More than being here? Well, no. Why do you think he's going then?
I think it's his way to pressure the Biden administration to give him more help.
Why does him being there pressure the Biden administration any more than being here?
Not real good on that, Eric, but it does seem to me like the cameras will follow him. And lo and behold, when even Democrat mayors from those awful blue cities start to push back, I mean, this isn't exactly Greg Abbott or Ted Cruz. This is Brandon Johnson, for crying out loud. Maybe that's somehow different. That's my only guess.
Yeah, of course. New York Mayor Eric Adams went to Mexico and Latin America on a similar pretext recently. But I don't think that it does any good. And the problem here is getting so dire. They just announced that they're not going to be doing they were going to use the Amundsen Park Fieldhouse for shelter for 200 migrants. And now the city said that plan is on hold because what happens is that these communities that use these facilities or that are in their neighborhoods are telling the city they don't want this influx of migrants right in their backyards. And as far as I know, there's been no locations put forth for these tent cities, these, you know, quote unquote base camps that Mayor Johnson's investing, what, $30 million in trying to build. And it's getting cold. I just noticed this morning. I mean, we had those frost warnings this morning, and waking up, I wanted to stay under the covers. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like when you have all these people who are living in police stations and in the airport. And some people are living in tents, camping tents. What are they going to do when it gets really cold?
I don't know. But so going to Mexico doesn't expedite that. I think every day matters on the ground here in Chicago. But what do you think the solution, if nothing else to get us to the spring, is? I think the giant heated tents are a good idea. I mean, it's an idea. What else we got right now?
No, I agree that it's not a bad idea. I just haven't heard him express the political will to in effect compel particular neighborhoods to have these tents, to host these tents, to have them in their figurative backyards. We talk about these tents, but where are they going to go? There was a good column in the Sun-Times from David Roeder talking about the possibility that the Archdiocese of Chicago would use some of these shuttered buildings that they have. There are other facilities that they can use. And Governor Pritzker is very skeptical of the using these tents. He thinks that there are enough vacant buildings and other things that you could put these migrants in for the winter that would require a lot less investment and might lead to more permanent housing at some point. City Clerk Valencia this morning published an op-ed talking about the need for all these migrants to get work permits, that the way to solve this problem long term is not going to be to keep making these shelter arrangements for them, but to allow them to make enough money to pay rent and to become functioning citizens of the city.
Amen.
And I think to do that, they're going to have to work. And there certainly are jobs available out there these days. And I think that's certainly, if there's one, you know, relatively short-term answer, that could definitely be part of it. I agree with you, John, that the tents is maybe the best of a bunch of bad solutions right now.
Yes.
It is becoming urgent. It's becoming urgent, well, right? I mean, it's October.
I got to tell you, Eric, there was an article, I think, in the Times, maybe somewhere else, but in Minneapolis, they've taken giant warehouses, and that seems to be something that's at a premium these days. I don't know if we have any, but they've taken these giant indoor spaces that are nothing but warehouses, and then they have erected within them rows, like blocks, if you will, of tiny houses. Think like the smallest dorm a kid lives in, half that. But it's room for a bed, a chair, electronics, and shelter. And they all have their own safe space with a door. And it's just boom, 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 boom down the row. And now the people are have a little privacy, have some support. I mean, it just struck me as a very simple, but for that reason, good idea. I don't know that anybody has offered anything like that. But if we had a giant space and could just throw up some mini rooms... Minneapolis is doing this for their homeless population. Lord knows it's cold up there. Eric Zorn's on the line, publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter. He'll sign you up for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. You can pay a premium price for a premium edition. Hey, John, going to the border will net nothing. But the next texter says it's a shame you guys have a one-track mind when it comes to the mayor. 630 says, I think Mayor Johnson is going to Texas to find out how they manage housing for immigrants. 847 says, Eric hates the mayor because Brandon called him out during that debate and Eric can't get over it. At least this guy is trying things. You think the other guy would be handling things any differently? Eric, would you care to respond to that?
I don't hate the mayor. I want to give him every possible chance to succeed. And like I said, so far I'm not impressed with how he's handled things. And so, no, I don't hate the mayor at all. And I think we've got some serious problems and that he's going at him. But I just don't see the value of going down, of spending the time and money to go down to the southern border when you've got so many issues, so many community meetings you could go to. If he wants to talk to migrants, go to O'Hare or go down to any number of shelters and talk to them and find out what it is that they need, what it is that they why they left their home country, what they think should be done. But I don't see any value in this. It seems like grandstanding to me. It seems like the kind of thing that just a politician would do rather than someone who is trying to run a city.
We don't have time to get into this at length, but the next text says, John, are you and Eric going to talk about the Tribune article regarding how Illinois' population is changing? It flies in the face of right-wing talking points. But Robert McCoppin writes, Illinois is becoming less rural, more educated, more foreign-born, and higher paid, according to a new analysis. A net loss of 460,000 residents moving to other states was largely offset by incoming immigrants, researchers found. In addition, more arrivals are working and generating about 200,000 more workers paying income taxes over the past decade. This idea that everybody is fleeing Illinois, many people are, but many people are taking their place. And again, the new arrivals are generating work, and also we are becoming less rural, more educated, albeit more foreign-born, and higher paid. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great news. And I hear that, and it, I mean, I don't know what else you can say other than that's on the front page of the Tribune today and really worth a read, because it does go against the grain of the doomsayers have been talking about how Illinois is being hollowed out and everyone is fleeing and going to these low tax states. And I think a lot of people are realizing that Illinois, we're pretty well situated when it comes to water. Our climate's pretty good here. It's going to be kind of cold. We don't get hurricanes. Chicago hasn't ever been hit by a tornado. Killer bees aren't here. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons why Chicago is a great place to be. And you know, the cultural life here is good. And boy, I mean, I just was watching The Bear.
No sharks.
I know you've seen that.
No sharks. Haven't had a tidal wave in I don't know how long. What about The Bear?
It's just the gorgeous views of the city, the drone shots of the city. You watch those and go, man, I wish I lived there. And you go, hey, I do. What a great town it is. So I think this is fabulous news to read about. And I'm glad to see that some of the doomsayers have been maybe perhaps temporarily silenced. We'll see.
I don't want to be too easily swayed by a pretty picture on TV, but I felt the same way when NASCAR came to Chicago last 4th of July weekend. And for all of the travails about that thing and the uncertain, you know, economics of it, oh, we look so good. The whole world saw how pretty our little town was, and I loved that.
Well, there was some really interesting coverage over the weekend. A.D. Quigg from the Tribune wrote a really nice article about how apparently there were only like
47,000
people actually bought tickets.
Yeah. Well,
37,000 actually bought tickets.
You're right. Yeah, it was even less than the 47,000 humans. Times two was 98,000 for the 2 days. And then...
So they were doing all kinds of math. And of course, and part of the story was that there was a sort of incalculable value of people seeing this great-looking city during the NASCAR coverage, even though it was raining the whole time. It still was, I mean, it's hard to put a price on that kind of publicity for a city. But ultimately, it looked like the city paid out a lot of money and didn't get a lot in return for it. And I was a little disappointed, going back to Brandon Johnson, how he unilaterally decided, just like Mayor Lightfoot, unilaterally decided to bring this race to Chicago. He renewed the contract this year. He could have easily backed out. He didn't put it to the city council. It was sort of an autocratic move on his part. I thought this is the kind of thing that the neighborhood and the city council ought to have weighed in on, and he went ahead and did it himself. So
I'm out of time, Eric. You and I will visit with our friends, including John Hansen and probably Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute, on the Mincing Rascals when we recorded Wednesday. I have time just to read one more text here. It says, I completely agree with Eric. 2 exclamation points. They don't say about what, however. So at some point, Eric, I want you to know you said something that was good.
I will take that. Thank you.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Great. See you, John.